And now, live from space, the 200% podcast with Ian King and Edward Carter.
Hello, pod fans, and welcome to 200% podcast number 159. Now, Ian, do you know what is significant about the number 159?
It rings a bell. It goes diagonally across a telephone keypad, which is quite pleasing.
Oh, yeah, all right, I'll give you that, but I'm thinking specifically of darts.
Darts. Is it the lowest number that you can't out from?
It is.
Yeah, how about that? I know my darts.
Well, I think if there's anything we've demonstrated over the last few weeks is that we don't know anything about darts.
Yeah, this is also true. Yeah.
Last week in the soccer bag, we don't even need to dwell on that, but that's for later because we came up with a much better idea. We were discussing the pitfalls surround some of the most venerable old institutions, venerable old clubs in the English Football League.
We were. There's been a bit of a glut.
Yeah, Bolton Wanderers players went on strike.
Yeah.
Notts County are on the cusp of being relegated out of the Football League.
Although they have given themselves a chance.
They did give themselves a chance.
It's a straight shootout, isn't it, next weekend? Between them and Macclesfield.
Yeah, Macclesfield, I think, are 2 points ahead. So,
yeah.
It's very much in their
hands.
And
I tell you what, you can count on the fingers of one hand the number of people who I've seen say, wow, Sol Campbell's done a pretty decent job there, actually. Even if just to get, you know, should they fall at the very last, just to get them in this position from where they were earlier on this season is a real achievement, you know, that is a real achievement, and if he keeps them up, it is a significant one.
We've said it on this podcast, but I mean, who listens to us? They should listen to us because we are wise, but they don't listen to us because we are idiots
and drunks.
Layabouts. Notts County on the cusp of being relegated out of the league that they helped form.
Yes.
Coventry City, less said about that, the better, really. It's all going tits up.
Mm-hmm.
And it is my belief that this is because, the institution of the Football League is a 19th century institution.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crumbling. It's not fit for purpose anymore.
Well,
what it needs to be is redesigned.
Okay.
For 21st century realities.
Right, okay. Well, first things first. The one thing that I did note when I was writing about this over the weekend was that actually the clubs that are in serious crisis now have actually been that way for a really, really long time. All of them, you know? That's fair enough.
We were talking
about Bolton and what might happen to them if they got relegated out of the Premier League without that TV money, well before they were relegated out of the Premier League. Coventry's owners have been there for more than 10 years. Notts County have been in administration for the last 20 years. Bury have been in administration for the last 20 years. Port Vale have been in administration twice in the last 20 years. So these are stories that have very, very, very long tails. And the biggest problem that you have if you're going to reform football is persuading anybody that it's actually broken. Because until it's them, it doesn't matter.
That's a very interesting viewpoint.
So really we have to decide, the first thing we have to decide is whether we're going to go off on flights of fancy or whether we're going to go for something that the Football League is ever going to go for. Because ultimately they have this quasi-legal status. It's a very odd position that they have that everybody abides by. And the fact of the matter is that the Football League is representative of each of its 72 member clubs. Those are the people who make the decisions. Those are the people you have to convince. So I've got a feeling that you're just going to go off on some crazy one and make all sorts of sweeping decisions as though it doesn't matter. So I figured if you go down that route, and I'll see if I can match you with a more pragmatic alternative.
Well, I find that interesting that you've assumed that.
Well, that's because it's primarily because I'm probably true. It's primarily because I think you're a lunatic.
Well, it's I mean, the thing is, when nobody listens to a single word you say,
does it make a sound?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying that one is superior to the other. I'm just saying that there are different perspectives, different angles at which to attack the problem.
I would be delighted if the Football League welcomed my proposals and sent, you know, whoever is in charge of such thing. Graham Kelly? Is it still him? Round to have a word and we'll thrash something out.
Okay.
But I don't anticipate it. And as such, I've made no such entreaty. I have just gone with the flow. I have to say, it was all quite easy to cut. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing in terms of it, but it was actually quite easy to figure it out.
Okay.
I mean, I will admit, I'm more of your ideas man.
Christ.
It's quite a broad... What I'm going to present is quite a broad spectrum. And there's a lot of details that will need to be filled in by, you know, the people who actually do things.
Okay.
Bearing that in mind, right, I think there's too many football clubs.
Right.
In England. There's just too many. So what you need to do, it needs to be consolidated to 100, right?
Right.
And to facilitate this, all football clubs will be completely disbanded. They're all gone. All of them. Gone. Finished. Left for the history books. And that leaves 100 tenders, basically, to be snapped up by interested parties. Now, obviously, one would hope that they had some of the infrastructure of a football club to start with. But I also, I'm quite keen, and I don't know if this is a very Soviet thing, I'm quite keen on sort of dividing the country up into sectors, so that there is one club per sector. If we were to divide it into 100 sectors,
you're aware, are you not, that you would be throwing hundreds, if not thousands, of people out of part-time work, and also that it is a decision that would boil the piss of every single football supporter in this country. There would be zero support for it. In fact, the only people who would support it would be the clubs themselves. Because the 100 biggest clubs would all win. Ah, you could have Premier League B teams, Premier League C teams, Premier League D teams.
Well,
you know.
Well, no, because you see, the existing club structures would be null and void. They'd gone. I'm not keen on the amount of clubs there are in London, for example. So when I was dividing up my sectors, I'd make sure there could only be a certain number. It's very similar, in fact, to the way that the Football League was initially founded, where Nottingham Forest found themselves on a slag heap because there was already a team from Nottingham in the league. And they were told to sling their hook.
I can understand why that would be. Because, I mean, quite aside from anything else, in the 1880s, getting to away matches was difficult. And if some teams, and if all of these teams, because most of, you know, the teams were mostly around the Midlands and the North West, So if all the teams
again, another thing that my plan.
So
will,
if all the teams
get around.
So if all the teams from the Northwest have this one extra trip to Nottingham, which is a hell of a journey to have to make in 1888, then
on a horse.
Well, no, it would be on a steam train. In all likelihood,
I'm sure that some people would have gone on a horse, though the old pony and trap.
Quite plausibly, yeah. But the vast majority, including the players, would have travelled by train. But travelling by train in 1888 was dirty. It was quite uncomfortable. It took fucking ages.
Jack the Ripper was about as well, so you had to keep hold of your unmentionables.
Yeah, well, presumably that's why there were no London clubs involved. But
he'd murdered all of the players.
But Jesus. But no, I mean, you know, you've come up with the only idea that every single person in football would be actually actively against. So you've managed to make yourself quite possibly. I mean, I call it a public favour. Because what you're actually doing is taking the heat off every single politician, Piers Morgan, Rupert Murdoch, Donald Trump, or the whole lot fucking combined, to become Britain's most hated man.
Yeah, but as I say, I think that I have maintained some of the ideals that were involved in the setting up of the first Football League.
Listen here, poll dot. Because this is basically what this is. And as a glasses wearer, I feel obliged to speak out, you know.
As a French speaker.
Yeah, as somebody who went to university. Although, to be fair, I am a peasant these days.
Well, yeah, to be fair, you went to university, but it didn't take, did it?
I'm not the bookish type, you know.
That's fair. No, I think that you're quite right. In there is a certain Khmer Rouge-ness to my vision,
and we all know how that turned out. I watched the Pilger documentary on Cambodia the other day, actually.
Well, that must have been a cheerful afternoon.
It made for an informative but not exactly light evening.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he just concentrated his focus on reforming the Cambodian Football League rather than
I'll put it this way, it's not a late night watch.
No. Well, I mean, in a way, it is, because you probably won't be able to go to sleep. So it's relative, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm undeterred by your scorn. I'm going to continue regardless. There are 100 teams, so we've divided the country up, be it based on population size or population density, or just literally divided it up like ordnance survey map. And in each sector... there will be one club.
Right. And each unit... Each unit, the blue and white stripes, for example.
Well, exactly. But you've got to get past this, the thinking about, Man City, Man United and all that. It's not the same. These are completely new tenders for people to do with what they wish. Oh. And I will get to that.
Ministry of Agriculture have got a strong team this year.
Well... Exactly. Now, you know, let's deal with that. The issue of what would constitute a football club, I think it needs to represent the people of its sector. This sounds very Orwellian, but the people of the sector should inform, you know, what that club believes in, what it stands for, what they represent. And that goes for their colours and their kit, their ethos and their style, and maybe also of the, you know, the political persuasions or the occupations that they draw their players from.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, you could have one team that really doesn't like feminism, and then you could have another team who are very, very woke. You could have another team who are entirely gender non-binary.
Right, and you'll end up with 30 teams, if opinion polls are anything to go by, that'll be representing the far right. Because this fucking These fucking ideas of representative democracy are really working out well for us, aren't they?
You know, what I'm saying is it's a more representative, these old, fusty institutions, as modern day football clubs would soon be, you know, dismissed as, people would look back and think, what, that was insane. I mean, they were drawing people from all over the world. They were, it was muddied thinking. What were they representing? These people will be marching, marching to one drumbeat.
Right.
Now that I hear that out loud, actually, it sounds pretty bleak.
Yeah.
So it may need some finessing, but I do like the idea of Brexit FC and, you know, Radical Feminism FC manager, what? Andrea Dworkin.
Why would radical feminists want to have a professional football team for the sake of having a professional football team?
To sock it to the man. Bring down the patriarchy.
Okay.
But having a horse in the race, you know, a man on the inside or a woman.
So this team would be made up entirely of women players?
Well, I'm not sure whether or not... I mean, actually, I am sure whether or not the rules will permit it because I'm the person making the rules. Yeah, why not?
Well, I'm not saying... I mean, why not? Is that, again, this is something that the FA would be vehemently against.
Oh, yeah, but so
you can add them to, you know, the entire remainder of the British public. You know, if they were the last people to piss off and they probably didn't particularly care, the point at which you effectively, you know, seek to abolish them is the point at which they're out as well.
That's a pretty chastening thought. Imagine coming up with an idea so odiously abhorrent that even members of the Football Association weren't on board with it.
And they signed off on the Premier League.
That's so ideologically heinous that the FA say, no way, I can't get behind it.
Yeah.
And that's what I've come up with.
Well, so I got...
Anyway, I'll press...
Okay, right, well, let's
I'm,
give...
I'm going to press on.
Let's give my proposal. My brief proposal.
Okay.
I'm going to propose...
So far, I like mine better.
I haven't said anything yet. I'm going to propose four divisions of 20 teams.
Well, that's exactly what I'm going to propose. Yes, you see.
Four up and down from the Premier League down, and then regionalised at the bottom of that. Four up, four down, yeah, all the way. I propose... introducing a 50+1 rule similar to that in Germany.
Communism.
And I will also be ensuring that television money and television contracts give some attention to the bottom three divisions as well as the top one.
I
think the Premier League could be persuaded on four up, four down. So long as there is a more even distribution between those two. So the trick there is to find something to give the Premier League in return. Because the clubs aren't going to like the idea of four up, four down.
Basket of muffins?
The better plan might be for an additional payment to be made from the Premier League to be distributed across all Football League clubs. So an increase in solidarity payments and not...
Speaking as a Brighton and Albion supporter, I'm quite happy with three down at this present moment in time.
Yeah, but you know, I just think that if you're going to have five divisions of 20, which is effectively what it becomes, then you should take this opportunity to equal out the money so that relegation matters less. Because you've got to bear in mind that the fall in TV money at the moment is... 110, 120 million pounds down to 6 million pounds. And parachute payments only partially cover that loss. So you've got to do something.
Just playing the world's smallest violin.
Yeah, you've got to do something to make relegation less of a potentially life-changing event.
Yeah. I mean, there's rampant inequality. And the thing about rampant inequality is that the only way you can get rid of it is to, you know, in a mandatory fashion,
yeah,
tear everything up and start over again, because, you know, people aren't going to vote for what makes them worse off.
Yeah.
Unless, obviously, it's a plebiscite pertaining to our membership of the European Union.
Okay, well, my proposal then, my further proposal...
Okay.
...is...
No shorts. Dicks out.
No, shut up. God's sake. No, I think shut up, honestly.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, so I've got my five divisions, four up, four down each division.
Okay.
I think my next proposal here is in relation to fixture timings.
All right.
It would be to play the bottom three divisions at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, the second division on a Saturday early evening, maybe 6 o'clock. And then
rakish.
The first division, the top division, the Premier League, spread out over Sunday.
I have to say I'm with you in terms of the numbering. I went for four divisions and I've called them 1, 2, 3 and 4.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I've got four divisions of 20 teams, and then you need a fifth division of 20 teams as well, because there needs to be, like the national or the conference,
yeah,
or whatever you want to call it, you need that division that is fundamentally still very much a continuation of the Football League, but separate from it.
Well, I think you just take the top eight from the National League. There you go.
I mean,
that's the only fair way of doing it. Anything else is a bollocks. I mean, you could have the top four automatically and the eight below them in playoffs or something.
Yeah.
You know, if you wanted to, if you wanted to spice it up, which somebody would inevitably want to. Because the fact of the matter is that you've got to balance what the fans want, what the clubs want, what the regulators want, what the media wants, and most importantly of all, because it isn't going anywhere, what the TV companies want. I hate to say this, I hate to be the one who breaks it to the world, but we're in too deep with television money.
Do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. We obviously are in too deep with it. It's all very well to bang on about Sky or BT Sport moving kickoff times for matches, and it sucks. You know, I wish every game was played at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. But the fact of the matter is that they own football. They fucking pay for it. They pay a metric fuck ton of money, and in return for that, yeah, they get kickoffs whenever they want.
It is true.
You know? And the fact of the matter is that you can do that, but in such a way that they still get value.
Yeah, I mean, if football club... If television companies walked away from football tomorrow, every football team in Britain would go bust, pretty much, apart from the ones that, you know, run on... amateur level.
No,
they would all be stuck with huge legally enforceable contracts that they were unable to pay because TV money has allowed them to sign ridiculously.
Well, no, I think it tails off surprisingly quickly. I think the Premier League would be fucked. I think most of the Championship would be fucked. One might argue that most of the Championship is already fucked. However, by the time you get down to League One, the TV money's already fallen down to £1 million a year. And most clubs in League One, it would be a significant financial difficulty for a lot of them. it will probably result in a few going into administration. But £1 million is an amount that most clubs in League One could probably, if they really applied themselves, wipe off their budget. League Two, the annual television money is about £500,000. So
is that each?
Per club, yeah.
Oh, because, I mean, £500,000 share between 24 clubs.
No. I'm talking about £1 million each in League One and half a million each in League Two. And you do also get an amount of money, which is like appearance money. But, you know, there's words of those figures. But again, £500,000 a year. Yeah, that could be written off. That can probably be cut from the budget of quite a lot of clubs, you know, playing at that level. So again, it's something that's achievable. National League, the TV package they've got with BT Sport pays, I believe, practically nothing.
Tuppence.
I think it might be something like £5,000 per appearance. So if you're on six times throughout the season in the National League, £30,000.
Leighton Orient must be like pigs in shit.
There are obviously teams that appear more regularly than others, but I think it's written into the rules that everybody has to get, you know, some sort of go over the course of a season.
Well, it's good to see there's a good example of how TV are making, you know, at least making token efforts towards evening the playing field out a little bit.
In a
new world, they've created a new world order.
The thing is,
and they are trying to be good,
the thing is that it happened in Spain. So in Spain, they gave up collective broadcasting rights, and each club negotiated its own TV deal. And
that's not going brilliantly for Spain.
And that was the point at which it went stratospheric for Barcelona and Real Madrid, because that opened up a huge financial gulf between them and just about everybody else in the division.
Not just those two teams either. It also went stratospheric for the Premier League as opposed to La Liga. La Liga is, I was hearing something today or reading something today about how La Liga is trying to make a concerted effort to get back in, you know, get back into the reckoning for being the best league.
Yeah.
Against the Goliath that is the Premier League. And that, of course, is maybe one of the reasons that they've started putting the games on free-to-air TV in this country.
Well, I think
trying the old football Italia trick.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the important thing to bear in mind here is that, you know, that's the difference between the two. It's very important that we maintain collective television rights. That is fundamental to what I would be hoping to achieve.
I would want to be the person who owned those rights.
Okay, well, they're going to be hella expensive.
Well, no, you see, I would want, you know, I'm going to take the rights and then people can buy them from me.
Right, yeah, see, I'm not going to sell them to you then.
This is a benevolent, it's a benevolent dictatorship. You have to believe there is a great deal of benevolence in my plan, as long as you go with it. Otherwise, I will, try and crush all opposition brutally.
You're a moron.
Look, anyway, right? So you've got 20 teams in a league,
mm-hmm.
five leagues.
Yeah.
Under my system, any team that doesn't get 38 points... relegated. If you're not going to get at least a point a game, you get relegated.
Right.
So if 11 teams get relegated, that means 11 teams get promoted.
Okay.
In a case where they all get 38 points, as should be, you know, in these new, very closely fought, all past inequalities brushed aside,
Which everybody hates,
then it's 3+1 down, and then the fourth would be involved in the playoffs with the fourth, fifth, and sixth placed team in the league below. Because everyone loves a close season playoff tournament. You know, that's a bit of housekeeping. I'm mainly excited by my idea for getting the players to the teams.
This is the players who will be draining abroad.
NFL draft.
Right.
I like the idea of the American draft system. I don't understand it fully, and I think that is a wonderful grey area in which football could operate. If they could create rules that were so arcane that even a lunatic like me can't fully grasp them, people could get away with anything.
Yeah, but the thing about all of this is that the people who are going to disagree with this the most is the players.
Yeah, but
they are not going to want their freedom of movement, their ability to cut their own contracts with whom they want to, when they want to, diminished by your desire to treat them like cattle.
Well, players should have fucking thought of that before. Well, they will have.
Before they all went to play abroad.
No, before they were complicit in Brexit.
And
that's my view. There were not enough public figures who...
See, the thing is that there is a way around this for you. You know, we live on an island. We're leaving the EU. True. You could just go for hard Brexit and close the borders.
Close the borders?
Yeah, that will stop just close all the airports, all the points of entry.
And then stop anyone getting out and stop anyone getting in.
And the players, any players...
Yep.
Who are stuck in this country at that point? Well, tough shit. You're not getting out.
Which is good news for. Well, I mean, it's not good news for anybody, but it's good news.
It's good news for all football supporters because it means that, you know, you can end your talk now about Paul Pogba going to Madrid. That ain't happening.
Yeah.
Or Eden Hazard. Going to Madrid or PSG or wherever it is they're talking about him going to. Close the borders, open some concentration camps. Because let's be honest and say you're going to do that anyway.
It's interesting that all the talk about David De Gea moving to Real Madrid has died down without me even needing to moot any kind of concentration camp.
Yeah.
So, That's all him. I can't take any of the credit for that.
No, fair enough.
I've thrown in a few because I thought you would be a bit thorny in your opposition to my brilliant idea. So I've thrown in a few things which I thought that might appeal to your more socialistic bent.
Right.
First of all, I think I would have a rule that no one under the age of 18. Should be allowed to sign a football contract. That would stop clubs basically farming African youths.
I would have it at 16 because that's the school leaving age. You can't, you know, what good are you doing by enforcing that? They're not going to, like somebody who's got a professional career waiting for them, is going to diligently do their 2 years. Or are you going to say that they can only play if they've got A-levels?
Well, no, they can...
What are they going to do?
They would have a gap year and then they'd... national service.
Do you think either of those are going to be A... popular or B in any way beneficial to their development in the career that they actually want to do of a professional sportsman? You're giving a 17-year-old a gap year and then telling them that after that gap year they've got to do a year's military service, which they're going to hate. And then they can be a professional footballer. What's going to happen there is that a lot of them are going to say, it doesn't really sound like it's worth doing anything until I'm 18.
Yeah, but you, what you have
so
to
what I'll do
is
I'll get in. I'll do it at 18. By which time I'm out of shape. The national team starts falling to pieces if it hasn't already been banned from international football over other issues.
Oh, it would have done. Yeah, I mean by the time that this sort of by the time I'm in charge of this,
you'll be at war with. You'll be at war with Eurasia.
I will be in charge. No one's going to let me do this in the FA unless I am also in charge of the whole country. And this whole rancid, damp rock would be a massive banana republic. And there's no way that anything that pertains to our standing in the world now would be retained. No, I mean, it would be absurd. The whole thing would be an absolute farrago. But on the other hand, it's why being a professional footballer would still be an appealing choice, because you should see how bleak it is for everybody.
I mean, the extent to which you'd have managed to not get the favour of anybody whatsoever. This would be entirely what you wanted, and literally no one else. Literally no one else over what at least one of your brilliant ideas.
You see, I'm starting to understand why Saddam Hussein aged so quickly, because it's very difficult being in that position. There's a lot of muttering.
There's going to be a lot of assassination attempts.
Yeah, well, I'll have to grow to get used to that sort of thing, I guess.
It's funny, actually. I almost called you Anwar Sadat on Twitter this afternoon over something you said. I think it was when you said I speak for all people.
Oh,
and I was going to reply to that by saying, all right, Anwar Sadat.
Listen,
didn't he claim to speak for all Arabic people? Wasn't he like in charge of the Pan Arabian conference or something, Pan African conference, whatever it was called. But he was a great believer in bringing together all the Arabic people.
He was. I'm quite fascinated with Anwar Sadat.
Yeah,
he's.
I'm not surprised.
I mean, that was an that was an exciting,
tortured his
rich and varied life.
Tortured his political opponents, I believe.
Well, I mean. Yeah, it's a sliding scale, isn't it?
No, it's either torture or it's not torture.
I can see that there is that
sliding
distinction.
Scale. What's
a sliding
out
scale
of interest? What's at the bottom? Okay, I can imagine what's at the top, but what's at the bottom of this? What are the bottom two things on the sliding scale of torture?
No good biscuits, only pink wafers.
Pink wafers. Tea. I don't mind a pink wafer or a rich tea, as it goes.
Fucking hell, honest, they're the worst.
They're not my favorite. They're not my favourites, but they're not my least.
Well,
favorites.
Exactly. No one's favourite. So if there were only those biscuits, you would go originally. You go, oh, okay. Well, I'll eat it.
No, I'd be like, oh, look at that pink wafer, and I'd eat.
I don't think I'd eat biscuits enough.
And then I'd eat it.
Pink wafer, it punches above its weight purely and simply because it's a different colour from the rest of the biscuits. It doesn't taste good.
No, it tastes fine.
Oh.
The thing is that the selection boxes that pink wafers come in, we get these occasionally at work, so I speak from a position of some degree of knowledge here.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The pink wafers come in these selection boxes, which are entirely mediocre in every single way. I put it to you that the worst biscuit is the shortbread that you get in those.
Oh, now actually that's a very good argument, because...
And then they talked about biscuits for an hour. I have eliminated this section as it is fairly lacking in relevance to a football podcast. I am a robot.
I can't help but think that we've wandered quite a long way from whatever our original subject was.
Yeah.
You were banging on about pink wafers for some reason.
I was bringing... Yeah, well, it was big pink wafers, torture, the lower end of the torture.
Oh, right, okay, that's the first one. And what's the second one? This is one off the bottom of the... And how many are there overall?
Well, no, I mean, there are too numerous to mention, I would think, in terms of...
Okay.
Talk. I mean, if you start from No Nice Biscuits...
Yeah.
And then maybe the next one would be Only ITV.
Yeah. You know, I think that's rougher than you think it is, because I tell you what, I watched a whole day of ITV a few weeks ago. I was off sick from work.
Well, why did you watch? I mean,
it was the,
why
because
would you do
I
that?
Was I
it's
was
ab- feel worse.
I was absolutely knocked out. Absolutely knocked out.
So
and it
too
was
knocked out to
quite,
find the remote control.
It was quite simply that the remote control was on the sofa and I was in bed. And I could not I could not be bothered to get up and walk the 6 foot to get it. So, and it was on ITV. I think the football had been on the night before or something.
That's
and I just laid in bed and watched it all day, or sort of drifted in and out of sleep through it. The thing is that I am not a woman aged 34 to 59.
Well, you were by the end,
because
of
all
it,
of these channels have a demographic now. And ITV's demographic is women 34 to 59.
Did you catch the menopause?
Everything is focused on one or two things, which is either A, these social media-tastic programmes in the morning, so This Morning and GMB. You know, getting that shit going viral. Ooh, look, Piers Morgan said something outrageous again.
You didn't watch Loose Women, did
we
you?
Might think it's a shitty brand, but, you know. But,
you did, didn't the, you? You watched Loose Women.
Yeah, but the, yeah. I don't know that it was on that day, actually. But anyway, but I digress. But the second proportion of the day, which is important, is basically 8 till 10, or 8 till 10:30, or 8 till 11. The prime time period. That's when Emmerdale's on. That's when Corrie is on. And they put all their money in nowadays into kind of big budget dramas.
Yeah, well, something that's got a famous person.
Yeah,
in
so there's, you know,
it doesn't matter what it is. They'll go, look, it's got Olivia Colman.
Yeah, there's stuff like that. Downton Abbey, obviously, is the most famous example of that. But you know, so ITV nowadays is solely dedicated to these two parts of the day, and it's because it's solely dedicated to this one particular demographic. And I was surprised watching it at how kind of, you know, feminized it is. And that's fine, you know, it's got its demographic and it's going for it. But the facts of the matter is that...
Do you remember when this was a football podcast?
Back in the day.
It's back in the day. Look.
Back in the day, if you were off school, right, you'd get a morning of educational programmes on Channel 4 or BBC 2.
Yeah.
Depending on what your choice
is. Yeah.
Episode of Crown Court.
Yeah.
You know, you could legitimately claim, if you were off school sick, you could probably actually go back into school a more well-rounded and educated person than you would have been had you gone to school that
day.
Yeah,
but there's a reason why they did away with that. And the reason is that...
Everyone's as thick as pig shit now.
I know, it's not even that. It's that that shit is expensive to do. You know, schools programmes. They weren't even allowed to run adverts during them, you know. So that's well, like them 9:30 till 12:30 for like fucking... I don't know, 15 years, 20 years? And that's like, what, a quarter of the day? Because these places were closing down, you know, these TV companies were shutting up shop at 11:30 at night at the time. So, you're talking about, I reckon a quarter of their day they're not even allowed to show adverts for.
You're listening to the 200% Cosmo and Dibs cast.
This is why my idea for the Football League isn't going to work. Because of the new realities of life,
well,
or because it's rubbish.
Well, I mean, the thing is that as far as I can see, you haven't got a private army. And because you have a 1,000 followers on Twitter does not constitute a private army, before we go on to, you know, that subject.
No, none of those people listen to me.
Well, if they're not going to listen to you, they're certainly not going to take up arms for you. So the chances of you winning a violent revolution are unlikely. You're therefore going to have to run on a democratic vote. I'd suggest starting as a councillor and working your way up. And you're going to have to.
I've not got the time for that.
And you're going to have to run on a platform of, I will subjugate you all and ruin football.
Some. I would, you know, asterisk that with, you know, some will say. Some people will tell you I would ruin.
Amongst me.
Yeah, I mean,
amongst the, you know, I will be shouting that from the rooftops, from the earliest available opportunity.
I haven't even been into my greatest revolution and innovation is that I would use VAR, but the people in charge of the VAR decisions would be former players, and they would be announced before the game to the crowd. Who would have a full and frank opportunity to make their feelings about that player heard.
So you're suggesting
that
in an era in which the media is already becoming increasingly partisan, to have former players making decisions on VAR in matches.
Well, it's what footballers say. You need to have someone who's played the game.
When footballers, professional footballers who are already in the media, have demonstrated themselves time and again as not even knowing the laws of the game.
Maybe they shouldn't just be the person in charge of VAR decisions. They should be suspended above the pitch in a glass box so everyone can see them. This is, you say, look, it's blue sky thinking, I know, but I think that football has got to the stage now where...
This is, I'll tell you what it feels like. It feels like Fred's 2. Continuing where the first film left off, the year is now 2030. Some vague semblance of an agrarian civilization is starting to show itself again. And on the irradiated fields of Albion, Sector 7F are playing Sector 8B in the Subsection 3 derby. And everybody has got chronic radiation sickness.
Maybe it would be the match of the day after Threads rather than Threads 2.
Well, you never find out in Threads definitively...
What, when the Football League starts up again?
What happens to her boyfriend?
Oh,
do you?
Well,
never find it. He just kind of disappears and you're left to assume that he's dead.
Oh, God.
But there's no guarantees of that, and that could be, you know, what happened to him.
So you saw sequel potential there?
Arm hanging off, hair falling out, like Steve Guttenberg in The Day After.
Maybe he and Steve Guttenberg got together, 9 other fellas as well, formed the football team, and that's where this begins, but
the thing about all of that is that it wasn't supposed to be something to aspire to.
No, but I'm not this idea that I'm putting,
but it is to, the reality it is the reality.
The idea I'm putting forward isn't necessarily one that is to be aspired to, more a reality of the situation in which you find yourself.
See, I think that the actual structure of football in the leagues doesn't really require a great deal of tinkering with. In fact, I'm reasonably happy with it the way it is now. It would be better if there were 3 relegation places between the National League and League 2, but on the whole, I think it's okay just as it is. What you've got to change is the way in which football clubs run themselves.
If you had football like it is now, with all the teams that there are now, you can play a little bit with the structure, the nuts and bolts of the structure of the league, but there's nothing that's wrong with football now that wouldn't be improved by the fit and proper person's test actually being a test of whether or not you were a fit and proper person to own a football club.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, as it stands at the moment, I would disbar anybody who has ever had any sort of insolvency event action against them. As it stands at the moment, you're only disqualified if you're currently bankrupt. So we now have the result of this fucking Lawrence Bassini, Bolton. And he's been declared bankrupt twice. He's already been banned from all football activity for 3 years. And suddenly, you know, nobody seems to be asking this question. Where does somebody who has been declared bankrupt twice in 8 years get the amount of money you need to buy a football club and run it?
Wonga.
Where's he getting, you know, even if it's like 10 million quid. Look, if I went to the bank for a 10 million pound, asked for a 10 million pound loan to buy Bolton Wanderers, they'd tell me to fuck off and they'd be right.
You should do it anyway.
But where's he getting all this fucking money from? Apparently he turned up for their, like, the first game he turned up there for in a white Rolls Royce. It's like, hang on a minute, weren't you bankrupt a couple of years ago? It's not because he's inherently more intelligent or better organised with money than any of the rest of us. I do not buy that for one single second. Something is going on there. You know, the stories stack up and stack up and stack up, and I don't get how you get to bounce back from bankruptcy a third time and be waltzing around, throwing around millions of quid and saying, I'm going to be spending this. When they were talking about, when the players went on strike at Bolton, he was talking about how he was going to make sure that all their wages were paid before kickoff. And he said, like, oh, yeah, I've already transferred £1 million into my personal account to pay it. Now, the thing is that as far as anybody's aware, that turned out to be bullshit. The players certainly didn't get paid on Saturday. And in any case, the Football League had already said that they were calling the game off as a result of the strike happening. But the point is, if he had come out with that, where did he... Wait, hang on. How do you get hold of these £1 million? Where did they come from? I want some of them. I work hard.
Yes, but...
You know, I work hard. I take care of my kids. I think I do all right. Where's my million quid just to chuck around on something?
You just more confident and... what's the word?
Yeah, well, you know, there is an alternative answer to this question that I can't, you know, that I can't really go into for legal reasons. Stupid libel laws.
Stupid rules. So, yeah. I think that's a reasonable conclusion, although I am, as I say, open to people going for my brilliant fix. You know, hit me up, slide into my DMs, the FA.
Mm.
If you like podcasts like done this one by us, Patreon, www.patreon.com/200%pod. I can absolutely 100% guarantee that no subscription fees will be put towards my private militia.
I haven't seen a penny yet, listeners. Not a brass bin.
Private militias are difficult to...
Looking forward to getting my £10,000.
Yeah, he'll get his £10,000. Up the wazoo. if you are a Patreon subscriber, then rest assured that you've probably got a very high fertility and you're very good looking. Also, you should have a bucket full of eggs this week. There you go.
Apparently I messed up the microphone at my end.
It's very exciting. It sounds a bit like listening to you via a conch shell.
That's very odd, isn't it? I wonder what it was that was doing that, because presumably, I would have picked up on that at the time, wouldn't I?
Well, I mean, it was Good Friday.
You know, I would have. I just don't know why I didn't do anything about it. It's not like me to know. I mean, I'm getting no interference on it at all now. I can just see like a couple of seconds silence for me. So yeah, no idea why that happened, but it did.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean,
we'll live.
The thing is, ultimately, I feel it was a very interesting and representative conversation of where we were at that point in time. And as such, It stands on its own merits, even if the sound quality is not necessarily as pristine as I would have liked.
Uh-oh.
What?
Okay, fair enough. I don't like this accurate representation of whatever the hell it was you said. I didn't like the sound of that at all.
It was mainly talking about what supermarkets we like and then men behaving badly for an hour.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, and the Bay City Rollers.
Oh, yeah.
And something else that slips my mind. Oh, yeah, human trafficking.
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
So that's, if you're a subscriber, you've got that to look forward to. If you're not a subscriber and you want to hear our views on human trafficking,
it's bad.
Spoiler alert, Ian's against it. No, you do.
Oh, God, double spoiler alert, you're in favour.
You do come across consistently as against it, which I think is very admirable. So, well done.
That's a relief, because I can't really remember what I said.
But yeah, if you wanna get on board with that, or you know, are a member of Amnesty International and just want to check it out, subscribe, and you shall receive it.
Probably.
Oh no, you'll definitely receive it.
No, yeah, and we apologise in advance for his opinions on human trafficking.
I kept my opinions on human trafficking very close to my chest throughout, and I will continue to do so. I feel that you must retain the mystique of the artist, especially when you're as deep in the human trafficking game as I am.
Oh God.
I think we've done enough.
Yeah, I reckon. You can come find us on Facebook or Twitter at 200% pod. Bear in mind that he does the Twitter. It's nothing to do with me. Whatever gets said on there is said by him.
But I speak for all people.
Yeah, do you now? You can also find our shop at Redbubble and all the relevant... If you're listening to this, you know how to find the podcast. I don't need to say that, do I? But anyway, yeah, I think that's about enough of us for this evening. So we'll be back again same time next week. Bye-bye.
Contact us on Twitter and Facebook. We are 200% pod. Or email us 200percentpodcast@gmail.com. Produced by me, a robot, in Brighton, UK. I am a robot. Please like and subscribe. Please rate and review. Be good to each other. And robots.
Jesus Christ, the